Hi there, listener. You're about to experience Tadpog. Tyler and Dave play old games, and there will be plenty of game talk, but also copious amounts of crude, off-color, offensive, and immature speech. So if you are of a rather sensitive humor constitution, we're just letting you know what you're in for with this show. It has games. It has jokes. You know, just games and jokes. Take the games, take the jokes, and have a good time.
Hello, Internet, and welcome to another Tadpog podcast, a weekly show where two old guys talk about old games. I'm your bearded host, Tyler, and last week, my wife was like, why do you tell these misogynistic stories? And I'm like, what are you talking about?
Wait, you've been telling misogynistic stories?
One, people get offended by things occasionally. Personally, you know, I don't have that line, so it's hard for me to identify. I'm offense blind.
You don't get offended.
I don't. I would like to know what that's like, but I don't know. I don't have that filter. I don't have that threshold, so I don't understand. And I don't mean to be misogynistic ever, because I'm not.
What did you say that was misogynistic?
I told the story about me losing my virginity.
Yeah.
But she was like, well, she probably didn't enjoy you telling that story. And I was like, well, that's true. I'm sure she would not like me sharing that story.
You didn't say her name or anything.
I didn't. I was like, I feel like that's more rude than it is misogynistic. So I'm very rude.
Well, clearly, right. So, we're both very rude.
But this week, I'm bringing in an elementary school story.
Okay.
If I'm unintentionally misogynistic now, hopefully I was not at all in elementary school. But when I was in early elementary school, and I was asking a girl out. It's very important for you to know that I was very into Garfield at the time.
I like how this is going. All right.
So my mom found, I bought her like a crystal swan for her birthday.
Wait, for your mom's birthday?
For the girl's birthday.
Okay.
I went out. I don't know why. I was like, girls love swans. Third graders love
crystal swans. All right, there's probably swans. The first misogynistic thing you said.
Fuck.
We're going to start over. All right, so you get the swan.
I get the swan, and I write her a note.
Uh-huh.
Apparently, maybe I only gave her the swan, because my mother still had the note and gave it to me.
You have it here with you?
I don't have the actual note, but I have what the note said.
Oh, okay.
All right.
So, you know, the listeners don't know the difference, so you can just say yeah.
Right.
And then rustle papers. Yeah,
yeah,
got it right here.
Here's his note. All right, so here's the note.
Okay. Verbatim. This is, how old were you?
Early elementary school, no more than like third grade, probably.
All right, so you're like 10 years old?
Maybe, yeah. I can't think. Whatever you would be normally as a third grader. I'm so young for my age, so probably.
Young for your age?
I'm young for my age. I'm young for my grade. Nicole will find that funny.
Yes.
She will be laughing, yes. And then laughing again now because we're munching it.
Right.
But I'm young for my grade.
Uh-huh.
So whatever normal third grader is, back it off a year.
Probably like 9 or 10.
9 or 10.
So we're in your mind as a 9-year-old.
9 or 10, very into Garfield.
And knows that girls love swans.
Mm-hmm. And crystal swans.
Crystal swans.
Not real swans. Dear Cassandra, I like you so much.
That's sweet.
Your eyes are like lipid pools of blue.
Holy shit.
Your skin is like a beautiful meadow. Please go out with me. You are the prettiest girl in school. Please don't tell Hope I wrote you this.
Who was Hope?
The prettiest girl in school.
Oh.
So I was like, in case my chance ever comes up with her, I don't want her to know that I called you the prettiest girl in school because you're not. This other girl is.
What the fuck 9-year-old uses the word lipid?
That's where the Garfield comes in, because that is part of a strip where Garfield is talking to Arlene. So I just straight ripped
you
off Garfield.
Ripped it off?
I straight ripped off Garfield. I was also very into saying, instead of saying no, I would say, does a chicken have lips? Because it was a Garfield line that I really enjoyed. So
clearly,
for like a year, I refused to say no. And it was,
is that how she
does a chicken has lips?
Is that how Cassandra answered?
She was my girlfriend for like 2 weeks.
Nice.
So the crystal swan, it worked out.
Mm-hmm.
We held hands and went bowling with the bumpers.
Nice.
So, yeah. Yeah.
You were dating early.
I was never one of those people that thought girls were gross.
I wasn't either, but that didn't mean they wanted to go out with me. I'm Dave, your bespectacled host, and I'm probably about the same age that you were, 9 or 10. I was really into, Okay, before we started recording, let me just say that your wife, Meg, had mentioned that she knows a little boy who loves fish.
Mm-hmm.
Not the band. Not the band. The animal. So it reminded me of this story. I had something completely different prepared, but I'm going to go with this. There was a period where I drew this comic strip when I was about 9 or 10. It's about a salmon. And I probably did about, I don't know, no exaggeration, I probably did somewhere between the neighborhood of 130 to 150 of these comic strips. I come home from school and I draw these, and the punchline for everyone was the salmon saying, "I'm a salmon."
Man, we need to, it's kind of ripping off Mike Birbiglia a little bit, but we need to put up pictures of our elementary school drawings and shit like that.
I found one the other day.
My mom's got a whole lot in a box because she cleaned out her attic because they're moving. So I have all sorts of that shit.
Awesome. What we like to do on this show, besides be misogynistic and uncreative.
Unintentionally misogynistic.
Right, unintentionally.
Masturbating skeptically and being unintentionally misogynistic.
Right.
Ted Pog.
Well, you know, it's almost a new year. We've only had a couple months, and then we can completely turn over a new leaf.
Yep. We'll just have a shitty podcast.
It'd be awful. It'd be awful. What we like to do is we like to go through IGN's top 100 Super Nintendo games, Tyler.
Mm-hmm.
And we like to muse about our very experiences on this show. Mm-hmm. This week, what are we talking about?
IGN's 65th ranked game, R-Type 3.
: The Third Lightning.
I didn't know that part. All right.
Because clearly.
The Third Reich was taken, so they went the Third Lightning.
Clearly. When two lightnings won't do the trick, you need to call in the Third Lightning. Before we get into that, You want to talk about what we've been playing?
A little bit. We'll do that a little bit.
What have you been playing, Tyler?
Well, I guess after Lion King, I played some of this game.
I cried.
I played a lot of Rogue Legacy.
I saw you.
I've still been playing a lot of Rogue Legacy. Because what we recorded, I think we recorded Lion King standard time. I got Rogue Legacy on Friday and I had beaten it. I'd put 25 hours in by Sunday. And for somebody that's not a lot of gaming time, like all my extra time went into Rogue Legacy. Such a good time playing it.
You finished it.
Mm-hmm. And I've almost beat it again. Because I want to get all the achievements. I'm not an achievement whore.
Yeah, it surprises me that you're going for it.
I've only gotten 100% achievements on Fallout 3 and Fallout New Vegas before. Otherwise, usually I get 70s to 80s, and I'm okay with this.
I used to hunt them, man, but since we started doing this show, and I feel pressured to have a different game to talk about each week, and on top of playing the Super Nintendo games that we actually talk about on the show, I don't hunt them anymore. I don't have the time.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
I would have liked to have played more of it or played a different game, but we had a bourbon tasting dinner at work that we got to collaborate on.
Yeah.
You did the menu and then I cooked one course of the menu and
I heard you had a pretty good menu.
It went well. But yeah, lots of Rogue Legacy. You turned me onto that. So I thank you for that because I think it's a phenomenal game. And it was on sale, not on sale anymore, but it was on sale for half off. That's when I grabbed it and it was well worth the 15 full price, even more worth half that.
Yeah, you're welcome. I played it as well. I have not finished it. We talked about it earlier. There's a part in the game called the Darkness that it's difficult for me because I feel like you're supposed to avoid the enemies down there, and all I want to do is just kill everything.
Because
that's how I roll.
Yeah, that's yeah.
We've also been playing a lot more Final Fantasy 14, A Realm Reborn. Nikki and I have been playing that. I'm happy to report that we're not quite high level. But we're no longer the 12th level characters I talked about before. No. We're now 22.
Good. So you're properly suited to power level me when I start.
We're a pretty big deal.
I want to do my own, but we're a pretty big deal.
We're pretty well known on Corel. Not at all. Not at all. I'm still playing Plants vs. Zombies too. That's my official toilet game now.
Yeah.
I quit smoking about 2 years ago. And instead of smoke breaks now, what I do at work is I just go to the bathroom and sit on the toilet and play Plants vs. Zombies 2 for 15 minutes. And I'm like, all right, there's my break. And I get out of the bathroom and go back to work.
Because, yeah, I don't – at work, everybody smokes except me. So I never take smoke breaks. I don't like to eat at work for some reason. I'd rather get in, work, get out.
Mm-hmm.
I do take a lot of shit breaks at work, though. But it's awkward. The bathroom, we only have one bathroom at work. So, like – a urinal and a stall. So I'm playing song pop until somebody walks in.
Right.
Pause. Because I don't know if this is a customer. They're just going to hear suddenly like 1979 coming from the stall for no reason at all. And then followed by Aqua. Then what the fuck is going on in there?
But that didn't bother you when we were on our way to Dragon Con. One of my funniest moments, I think, of that trip is going to the bathroom. I'm standing at a urinal. I don't realize that you've come into the same bathroom. Then all of a sudden I hear doo-doo-doo. And then random R&B song. I'm just kind of looking around with my dick in my hand. Like,
is that Blackstreet? Is that No Diggity? Why is No Diggity playing in mono from the bathroom stall?
Before we get into stuff, do you mind if I make an announcement?
Yeah.
We've got a great listener and someone I consider a friend of the show, John Sullivan.
Hasn't even been on the show before.
I know.
Friend of the show.
Friend of the show.
Very few people have that title, the people who we haven't met.
He has an announcement for all of our Midwest listeners. There's a group named the Rockford Artcade, and they're putting on an upcoming art show on October 4th and 5th in Rockford, Illinois. So if you're in that area, check it out. I know John's art is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So I can only imagine that all the other artists are equally as good. They've got a Facebook page. I think they're facebook.com/Rockford Arcade. I'll post it on our page at facebook.com/tadpog, and I'll also have a link to that in the show notes as well. Also, there is still time, Tyler, for everyone to pledge to the River City Ransom Underground Kickstarter that has this fantastic video that no one likes but me. Since we talked and you mentioned that everyone read it was like, that guy in the beginning just lame and trying to be funny. Mm. I heard that again on another podcast that I was listening to. And I was like, fuck, I may be the only person in the world who legitimately legitimately liked this guy. I was like, I get this guy.
So now we need feedback. We need all the listeners to be like, yay or nay.
Exactly. I'll have a link to that in the show notes as well if you want to go pledge and make this wonderful project happen and support some Canadians. Yeah. These guys these fellows are Canadian.
They have universal health care. Good for them, but their taxes are higher and they need some help. Support them.
I think I'm going to move when I get older. I think I'm going to move.
I'm with you. You and I go up there and get gay married and
yeah.
We're just living in Canada.
Why not?
It's fine. It's fine. Let's do it. Also, I think he's the champion in number of guest hostings. Jacob York had a birthday.
Yes.
We'll continue our streak of happy birthdays and wish Jacob York from September 16th.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be far past that by the time this airs.
Very belated.
Happy super belated birthday, Jacob York. You ready to roll into R-Type 3?
Nope.
Not if you were, but we should.
I'm not. I don't want to talk about it. Can we not?
I'll talk a lot about it, but I need an intro segment.
I mean, I guess I could do a little segment that I like to call Dave Reads from Wikipedia.
Thank you.
If you like. If we must talk about this game.
A little bit.
We absolutely must talk about this game.
We can talk Naruto theories and ruined Lost theories. We can go back to what we thought was going to happen. Just talk about Lost for 45 minutes.
Four-hour episode.
Here's what we thought was going to happen in Lost. And we were so wrong.
All right, guys. R-Type 3: The Third Lightning is a 1993 horizontally scrolling shooter developed by Irem, in which you pilot an R-90 Ragnarok space fighter. It was originally released, this is interesting, it was originally only released for the Super Nintendo. Previous R-Type games are all arcade games, and this was the first one that was developed specifically for a console. And this wasn't released on Genesis or any other system until much later. It came out, I think, for the Game Boy Advance. And then earlier this year, it came out for the Wii Virtual Console. It's the first game in the series to introduce new forces. And what the forces are, they're essentially the special weapons that attach to your ship.
Mm-hmm.
In the past, there was only one. But in R-Type 3, Third Lightning, there are three.
Oh,
see what they did there.
Okay, yeah.
The ship also features a standard wave cannon that you can charge up, much like Mega Man's X-Buster. You can release this charge to destroy walls, and you can also switch from a wave cannon to a hyper cannon, where instead of shooting one beam out, you shoot a whole bunch of beams in different directions. Mm-hmm. Those were really big changes to the R-Type series. That's what this game introduced.
Okay.
I've got a question for you.
Mm.
Did you ever play this game as a kid?
I played something very similar. I played Super R-Type a lot. I didn't play this one, though.
Super R-Type is notorious for slowdown and freeze-ups. Did you encounter that?
I remember slowing down. I remember a lot of levels slowing down because just so many enemies and shit on the screen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe I should have done my research before we started recording, but is Super R-Type, that's not on the list, is it?
I think it is, actually. Wow, I think it's pretty high.
I'm surprised because I've never played it.
Because I'm relatively sure. Let's look. Well, I want to look, but my Droid 4 is on its last legs. So it's just like press messaging. Like if I want to send you a text, I'm like, all right, messaging. I'm going to summon Knights of the Round. All right, that's the round is done. All right, now my text makes, yeah, now I can actually do it.
Let's just assume it's on the list.
I believe it is, but Super R-Type and R-Type 3, they're almost exactly alike. I mean, all the enemies are exactly the same. The levels are very similar. So it was like playing through DLC for my youth.
Well, Super R-Type 3 was the console version of R-Type 2 for the arcade. And that's why it had a lot of the slowdown issues, is because they tried to port it verbatim, which caused problems with the console. And I think that it was a really early Super Nintendo game, too.
I don't see it on the list, so I guess Super R-Type is not. So
I am glad.
Can talk freely about it.
I am glad.
I did not figure you'd like this game at all.
I've got a problem with this game. I didn't play this game as a kid either, and it's because I didn't play games like this as a kid, because games like this I would rent, and they would frustrate me for an entire weekend, and that has not changed, because I started playing this game, and I want to say right from the beginning, I actually think this is a good game. It feels good, I like how it looks, and I got really excited in the beginning, because in the beginning, it's really easy, and I'm like, maybe I'm actually good at this game, and then I get four levels in, I want to strangle a person. Like, I played the fourth area, Tyler. I literally put 5 hours into it. And then I got to the point where it was like, I am setting the controller down, and I am never, ever, ever going to play this game again.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't.
Because if I play this one more time, I will go next door and punch my neighbor.
Which is a man, not a woman.
Not misogynistic.
See, I just have... R-Type was one of three games my dad would play with me as a kid.
Wow, that's pretty rare. What were the other two? Mortal Kombat.
Sonya
Blade.
Uh-huh. And Super Punch-Out. See, Super R-Type is strange because I have a very strong memory when I was really little, like right when Super Nintendo and this game came out. My dad has always been very strict about bedtime. Not like making me go to bed, like whenever he goes to bed, it's ridiculous the world doesn't go to bed with him. So anybody that, when it was his bedtime, everybody had to go to bed. That was it. 9:30, 10 o'clock, maybe earlier.
You should have played a logic trick on him and been like, I can either go to bed or I can go pick up sticks right now. Because that's the other thing I know about your dad. He loves when he pick up sticks.
All right. I've got a story right now. You haven't been to my house in the last 2 days.
No, I haven't.
So you'll see it tomorrow when you come over. But there was a tree right on the edge of my driveway, and the roots were starting to crack the concrete a little bit. And it was really close to my roof. You can tell during the ice storm a few years ago, it must have like knocked off some limbs and like holes. So it was sort of dangerous, but it wasn't bothering me.
Right.
It was really bothering my dad. So while I was at work, Meg was home. My dad just shows up with a chainsaw, does not know how to do this. And he just comes over and he's like, I'm going to take this tree down. And Meg's like, should do that. He's like, I don't really feel really comfortable with it. And she's like, then don't do it. And he's like, okay, I'm gonna do it. So I guess he watched some YouTube videos about how to take trees down. So he cuts, you know, the angle out of the tree and then ties a rope around it and then just goes on their side and pulls the tree down. Like it's a large tree, pulls it down, blocks the middle of our driveway, and then he just chops it into a few chunks, pushes it off to the side of the driveway and goes home. So now there is just this mess of sawdust and sticks and tree trunk segments just all over my yard. He just chopped it up. It's like, you should probably hire someone to take this off, and leaves.
There's a fucking note. Tyler, pick up these sticks. Love you, Dad. God.
But I remember one of the few times my dad let me stay up late was me, him, and his best friend, Craig, staying up till like 2 in the morning playing R-Type. It's the outlier of video game experience with my dad playing this till 2 in the morning. So I like the R-Type series because I have pleasant memories about them. I don't think this one's as good as Super R-Type.
Really? See, I've never played Super R-Type.
It's a lot more simple. You don't get to choose which force.
Yeah.
It's not... This game, while it's a shooter, there are a lot of elements about you maneuvering in just very tight spaces and trying to...
Yeah.
That's not nearly as plentiful in Super R-Type.
And I had a problem with that because I can't tell you how many times when I was playing it and I just wish you could fly diagonally. I just wish that you could fly fucking diagonally. You can fly up, you can fly down, you can fly left, and you can fly right. But if something's coming in at you and you press up and right, nothing fucking happens. It's like they just cancel each other out and you just fucking sit there and you get shot. And you one shot and you're done.
Yep.
Which is fine. That's fine. I know people like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just not good at these. And I can see the value in these games. If you're not as easily frustrated as I am, I can see someone really enjoying this.
Mm.
But before we started playing this, I was like, I'm going to beat this game. I did not beat this game. I did not beat this game. And I feel awful because of it.
I like this game. And I didn't get much further than you just because while I think it is a good game, it's a perfect stress cocktail. Like there are just enough of these elements that come together just... Okay, because your ship moves quickly.
Yes.
The enemies take a lot of hits. The music is, I love the music. Yeah. The music is intense.
The music was great.
Rock. You're pivoting in all these tight spaces and bullets are everywhere. And the screen scrolls so
fucking slow.
Oh, it's so slow. And everything else is fast. And the screen just fills up and everything's usually very colorful. And the music, I mean, it pumps you up. And then it's just, you're on edge the whole time you're playing it.
I don't disagree with any of that. I really do. It's difficult because I really do think this is a good game. It's not a game for me.
And that's totally fair. It's totally fair.
Which of the three forces did you choose?
I chose the one that I remembered from Super R-Type, which was the spider-looking one.
Okay. Was that the standard force?
I think it was the one in the middle. First one?
Oh, okay.
Maybe.
Cyclone?
Yeah, I think that was it.
Because I chose the third one, which was Shadow Force. And it's also one of these situations where it's like, now I start second-guessing myself. I'm like, would I have had an easier time with this game if I'd have chosen another force?
Mm-mm, I don't think so. I want to say, like, a lot of videos I watch, that's what they used.
Oh, really?
So.
Well, can I say something about that?
Okay.
I also watched some videos. Okay. Because I got to the Area 4 boss, and I was like, this is where I sunk so much time into because I couldn't fucking beat him. Let me tell you how annoying it is when you go try to find a video for help on how to fight a boss. In every video, the fucking ship is just maxed out. We're just like, they got all the fucking power-ups. They got everything you can fucking imagine on this thing. And they just blow through it like that.
Yep.
Meanwhile, I'm not good at this. So what that means is I get punished because every time I die, every power-up you've picked up is reset.
Yep.
So that means I'm pretty much fighting every fucking boss with a factory ship that, like, just rolled out. We don't have any fucking spinning rims or purple lights under this motherfucker. You're just going in and fighting that boss just naked as shit. So it's super annoying to watch these people who are talented at this game just blow through it with these incredibly built-up ships.
Well, one of the problems I have with the game is you get your force, and your force usually attaches on the front of your ship and powers up your blaster.
Right.
And you can get these little rotating spheres that go on the top and the bottom of your ship.
Yeah, these little bits that...
Behind you, though, totally vulnerable. Totally vulnerable. So much shit comes at you from behind and from diagonal where you can't move. You can attach... Yeah. You can eject your thing and attach it to the rear of you.
But that's difficult to do.
Yeah.
Especially when you're in all those tight spaces. Because in order to do that, what you'll do is you'll shoot the fucking force straight ahead. And what you have to do is you have to move up or down so it can get behind you.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're in a little fucking corridor, that ain't happening.
Yep.
And you're pretty much fucked if you're going through a corridor and something comes behind you.
Yeah, and you just have to do it enough times that you know to try and figure out how to get it behind you so the enemies won't kill you from behind, because it's just, like I said, I think it's a great game, but it has some just gameplay faults. And I think that's just, I can see where that's arcade style, where you just have to know, and it's just built for you to pump quarters into it.
Can I tell you a little something? I got a little trivia about our buddies who made this game. They are notorious for making difficult arcade games to the point where most of their boards have a God mode toggle built onto the board so that if someone actually wants to try to beat the game, they can hit the toggle and do it. So
those guys,
just throw that out there.
What's the Iris sound like? Eyes. What were the, what's the developer again?
Irem.
Those fucking guys at Irem. But yeah, I feel like the graphics were solid. The music, this was in Megalixir's wheelhouse. Yeah. I'd love to hear a Megalixir R-Type remix.
I think they could do an awesome cover.
Gotta be so good. I feel like the bosses, while they're difficult, they're epic. Every one of them is just like a huge epic encounter.
Yeah.
Which I dig.
No, I love that too. When you come across a boss, you get this exhilaration, especially the first time you fight it, where it's just like, what the fuck?
What's going on?
That stress cocktail you're talking about. Mm-hmm. A boss pops up and all of a sudden, like, everything is just high stakes.
And I found it very confusing because playing through the game, you know, you're avoiding stuff constantly because one thing, just bump into it, you're dead.
Right.
The 3D elements in the game usually don't hurt you, but they look like they would hurt you.
Yeah, they scare the shit out of you. Like so the first boss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there's that rotating column in the first level.
Yeah.
I'm like trying to stay up above it and it's moving. I'm like, oh shit, it's gonna squash me. Okay.
No, it's just in the background.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
what scared the shit out of me is the first boss flies from the background to the foreground.
Mm-hmm.
And when that happened the first time, I was trying to dodge it. It's kind of like when Bowser's in his clown car in Super Mario World, you know, and he comes right up at the...
Oh, no!
Yeah, exactly. There's no way to fucking dodge it, but it doesn't matter because it doesn't fucking do anything. I thought the 3D elements were really nice. I thought they were handled really well.
They were good. It should have been just handled a little differently, but they were good.
Yeah, they look nice.
I think the first boss was very difficult. The first level is not very difficult.
No. It's pretty straightforward. I think it's just kind of get your bearings.
Yeah, not a lot of obstacles or narrow passages to go through. So no problem there. Stuff changes up for the second level. You have to start going through a little more maze-like maneuverability. Things are more colorful.
Right. The first level is pretty much open space.
Mm-hmm.
And the second level, describe that scene to me.
I mostly just remember the boss and being weirded out by the boss.
Which one was that?
The eyeball sperm.
Yeah.
Like they're just trying to weird you out with the giant eyeball sperm.
Yeah. It's like the boss is actually this wall of flesh, essentially, that has an eyeball that moves.
Just goes up and down in this little sack inside of it.
Yeah, yeah. And it barfs out these like puke-colored blobs at you. Meanwhile, there are holes on the wall that shoot eyeball sperm out.
Yeah, eyeballs with the sperm tails, and they're just wriggling at you.
I have some trivia about that.
All right.
Would you like to hear this?
Can you get printed from eyeball sperm? Yeah.
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 Totally.
It was a big problem in 93.
All the eyeball children. It was just fucking horrific. We just sent them all out to World War II when they were in their 20s, and it's a problem took care of itself.
We're sorry, World War II veterans.
Yeah, we apologize.
All the World War II vets that just love Tadpog. We're sorry.
No, I'm not sorry for that. I'm sorry they had to serve with these hideous eyeball creatures. We had real heroes out there, Tyler. Real heroes. And they had to fight shoulder to shoulder with these eyeball abominations.
Damn you, Irem. Retroactively go from 1993 to World War II. Yeah. Sending your through the Dimension X time portal from Ninja Turtles back to World War II.
In Japan, those were just straight up sperm.
All right.
They weren't eyeballs. When it came to North America, they changed it.
How can we make... Oh, God. Fucking Japanese.
They changed it. They put eyeballs on the front of the sperm.
All right. We didn't know it looked like sperm at all. Good job. I hated the third level because then they mix it up and that's where you're moving sort of diagonally through these narrow corridors as it scrolls down.
Yes.
And that's when you have to really pay attention behind you because it's super narrow corridor. You're moving away. Your ship doesn't want to move.
Right. Diagonally.
And shit's coming at you from both sides. Mm-hmm. It sucks.
It was like a really, really shitty orgy. Coming at you from both sides and you're moving in ways that you can't move.
You're trying to cover your rear. You're totally vulnerable.
Totally worried about eyeball sperm.
But yeah, moving diagonally, bullet hell. Yeah. Ugh. They're a little sucked.
What was the boss in that one? Oh, yeah. It was that like droid looking thing that clung to the wall.
Oh, the conveyor. Yeah, he looked like a crab. Belt back and forth. Yeah.
Yeah. And he would jump at you.
Oh, he had the vagina mouth on his head.
Yes,
the
he
spider
did.
Thing.
Yes, he okay. did have a vagina mouth on his head. That is accurate.
Because you had to, in order to beat him, you had to put your force on, your, on the rear. Yep. And then, like, it was just the narrowest of margins for you to try and, because you couldn't shoot him. That when you had to bump into him.
See, so is that how you did it?
The margin of error. Yeah, you had to bump into him with the force on that on his vagina mouth.
I got brave, dog.
He's a robot, so this is not misogynistic about his vagina.
Right, right.
Head.
Yeah, vagina mouth robot.
Vagina mouth robot. And so, yeah, I'd bump into him and then scoot up when he would dive at you. And you'd just kind of roll the room trying to do it.
I got real brave. You're hugging the far right wall and he's clinging to the left. And every now he'll make these giant leaps towards you. Mm-hmm. When he made a giant leap, I flew underneath him.
Ooh.
And just started blasting the shit out of his belly.
Well, I guess sort of a complaint is you would periodically shoot these balls with legs that had different color orbs on them and
yeah,
had to get your power-ups.
Up, yeah.
And you never know what the next gun is going to do. I so know. If the next gun is going to be good for you or bad for the level, sometimes you know the shot will cling to the wall. Sometimes it'll be powerful in front of you. Sometimes the shot will curve around you and go behind you.
Right.
You don't know what's going to be good or bad for you.
I never knew. And maybe this is why I'm not good at this game to begin with, mm-hmm. is I never knew what the power-ups were doing.
Yeah. If it were like Ninja Gaiden, where it showed us a little picture of what it was supposed to do, or an icon that you would know, okay, do I want this power? What of it? So you could kind of go through it and then plan what you need.
Yeah.
As opposed to then it completely resets, and then you really don't know what the fuck you're going to get.
Right. Area 4.
4, because of Star Wars Robot Chicken, this is the level where you're in, like, the Star Wars trash compactor.
Yeah, and you got to find little narrow niches to hide in before it completely compresses.
Mm-hmm.
While I was playing this level, it dawned on me. It's not a video game from the 1990s, unless it has lava.
It's true.
And this game does not disappoint. Because it has shitloads of fucking lava in
Space
level
lava.
4. Space lava. I thought this level was the most fucking annoying level ever. And it was, I could tell, designed to be challenging, and I accept that. I'm not saying it was poor design. I'm just saying it for me, it was not fun. There's lava that comes out from the ceiling and it sprays down this maze and you have to memorize which paths are going to have lava in them and which paths are not going to have lava in them. Even once I had memorized that pattern, I didn't feel like it was an accomplishment going through.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like, fine, I just learned something completely fucking useless.
Yep. Going through that level was bad enough. And then the boss is so incredibly hard, but it reminded me of, as a fan of Pokemon, one of the boss's forms, it has a few different forms.
Yes.
One of them looks like the Pokemon Nidoking.
I don't know these Pokemans.
These Pokemans.
I don't know.
It looks like Nidoking.
What's that
if,
one?
Like if you're on acid, like a rhino mouse, like an armored spiky mouse.
Okay.
But like it's like you're on a really bad acid trip.
That sounds like a real badass Pokemon, Tyler.
Another Randy Holland, my father's story that I remember.
I want to hear Craig's story.
Craig. Craig is a tragic figure from my childhood.
Craig is Stickmaster.
Craig, I remember they were good friends. My dad would, I heard him a lot, like, God, Craig, you're so stupid. Like, my dad, they had a good time. They went to like school together. They were old friends, but apparently Craig was kind of dumb.
Uh-huh.
And I remember Craig had been married for a long time. I had a crush on his daughter for a while. I don't know what happened.
Not Cassandra.
No. And apparently, like, Craig went to work one day and came home and caught his wife in bed with another man. And somehow they talked Craig down, and they were like, nothing's going on here. We're just, I don't know what the excuse was, how right. they bent the story.
We're just reading Garfield stories.
I heard kids are doing that nowadays. Okay. And talked Craig into it being fine. Like, the first time it happened, they talked Craig out of it. But, like, Craig caught them again, and then that time Craig didn't fall for it. I imagine they tried, but that to Craig was like, oh, fool me once. No. And then I remember there was a big, messy divorce, and I never saw Craig ever again.
Well, there's a story of Craig.
He's a nice guy, this Craig guy. If he listens, my dad's old friend Craig, I haven't seen in 20 years.
Come over, let's play Super R-Type. I'd like to extend that invitation.
the old compact Presario was about to die. And this is like Brandon was getting very into computers, and Brandon wanted to, he's like, I built our computer. I can build you guys a computer for a lot cheaper. And I was telling my dad about it, and he just immediately got, just got angry. It's like, Tyler, I know what's, going to happen. I know what you're going to do. I don't want no damn Pokemon parts in that computer. I was,
what does that mean?
Dad, Pokemon, they don't really make computer, like, you can't. I don't think Pokemon is coming out like, my Pikachu motherboard. Like, it's not really a thing. And he's like, I don't care at all. I don't want one in there. What I do want, though, is a webcam.
Webcam.
That's the future. If we get one now, get an early, we're golden. That's all. He didn't. No Pokemon parts, wanted a webcam.
I knew about your dad before I knew about you, because Brandon and I worked together before I knew you, and I remember him telling me this story, where I've got this friend named Tyler, and let me tell you what his dad said.
Which, I mean, if he only knew the things I would have jerked off to with a webcam, then,
yep.
Or I guess what would have watched me jerking off with a webcam.
Right. So. On your 56K modem.
Yep. I guess he wasn't wrong, though.
Yeah, no, I mean, Pokemon parts, gotta stay away.
That's what, yeah, everybody's got the Raichu RAM in their computer.
Worst rated brand on Newegg. Yeah, so tell me what happened after Area 4, Tyler. Tell me a story, because I didn't fucking make it
past. Well, you would have been furious after beating the boss, because you have to go through level 4 again. Backwards.
Yeah, I did that. I beat the first boss.
Okay.
Yeah. And then I went backwards, and that was awful.
Yeah.
Because you had to go through the fucking lava tubes again.
Mm-hmm. In reverse.
In reverse. By the way, your ship, when you say reverse, you mean like you put the ship in reverse and go backwards.
Yeah, you don't turn around.
Turn the fuck around.
It's like the biggest fuck you.
It is probably the biggest downfall of the R90 Ragnarok in the fact that it can only go in one direction. Really, it's really good at killing space bugs and vagina mouth robots, really bad at turning around.
So all the pieces of junk flying out in space, they can take like 10 hits.
Yeah.
But this ship, one.
We want to design this ship so that it blows up at the very first possibility.
I got to stage 5, and that's when stage 5 was like, okay, you win, R-Type.
Wait.
You win.
Before you get into stage 5,
okay.
Once you go through backwards in stage 4, I need to know how you beat that boss. Because I didn't beat it. You go backwards for a bit, and then all of a sudden there's a hole in the floor. Where there wasn't when you went through the first time. You go down that hole, and then you fight this boss that's essentially, there's this big motherboard, for lack of a better term, in the background. And there's these 3 tracks. And on these tracks are these round moving obstacles. And he shows up. He looks like a miniature fucking Death Star. He shows up at the bottom of the screen and then starts rotating the background.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to dodge him shooting you, and you have to dodge these obstacles that are on tracks rotating clockwise while the entire fucking map is rotating.
I just remember having the thing on the rear of me, and then all the obstacles that would come in, your ship can absorb it. So I just remember absorbing all the obstacles, because it'll absorb. Uh-huh. Yeah, you can.
I didn't realize
it can take
that.
All the hits it wants.
Okay.
So just use it behind you to act like a shield while you fire in the front.
I'd say that I would go back and try that, but
you shouldn't.
I'm not going
you shouldn't.
To. I don't want to punch my neighbor. I like him.
But yeah, stage 5, that's where things got too intense for me, because the background will just suddenly turn into an enemy. Like, it's all the bricks will just suddenly, like, shift, turn to enemy, come after you. You can't preemptively destroy a block. They're invulnerable until they turn into an enemy.
Was it Brick World? What are you flying through?
It looks like, I'm trying to think of exactly what. It looked like it's a sub-boss from Mega Man X2. It looked like a whole bunch of those all over the place. Like this robot suspended in liquid that's solid, and then it'll start to gel out and move and then turn into a robot and come after you. And they're everywhere. And they're spawning. Like you get past the bricks and they'll spawn behind you. And I was just like, that level was just too much. Couldn't do it. Nope. And I watched a video of the boss that I couldn't get to. And the boss has like 4 or 5 different forms. It was ridiculous. So I was just, nope.
Done after that.
You win, R-Type.
There's like 6 stages, is that right? Or are there more than that?
I believe YouTube said 7, but okay. I bet 7 is just a boss. I think there's stage 6 and then 7 is just...
Well, so that's as far as we got.
Yep.
Hey, listener, if that sounded fun to you, I would check the game out. But if you're like me and that sounded like an absolute fucking horrible time, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'd skip it. That's just me.
Yeah, super difficult. And then I know the programmers just tried to fuck people over a little bit. But yeah, it's not an awful game. It's just, it's really hard and you just have to really like that kind of game. Do you remember in Rogue Legacy, as you're exploring the castle, you'll come to rooms with large portraits. And yeah. The portraits detail their past projects.
Right.
That they did one of this genre about.
Oh, I didn't see that one.
Yeah, it was, they tried
this is
one.
Cellar Door, the games.
The developer. But they had done a mix of like a musical rhythm game and this. So all the.
So it's a rhythm meets a side scrolling space shooter?
Right. Huh. It might have been, instead of side scrolling, it might have been up and down. You just see, it doesn't say, you just see the portrait. But they talk about how good of an idea they thought it was, and you had to learn like, you had to learn the rhythm of the music because that's how the pattern of the bullets, and then like your own beat to try and mix in. Like they love the idea of it, but like in practice, it was terrible. It was so terrible. It got
that's what they say about their own game.
It's like it got 100% bad reviews from the one guy we let play it. So
we didn't talk much about the story.
I don't know anything about the story.
You're in space, you shoot shit.
Yep.
All right, next. I think the whole R-Type story is pretty minimal.
Mm-hmm.
Like humanity banishes some bioweapon named Bido, and he keeps showing up in every game.
And it's like Mayman X series. It's got that one enemy. You just got to come back somehow.
Comes back.
I really think Super R-Type was a better game than this. I feel like a lot of the bosses had a weakness. Like if you... Okay, the charge shot in this game. The charge shot takes so long.
Right.
You guys might get one off as soon as the level starts, but there's so much shit going on. You have to be constantly firing. You're not going to get a full charge shot off in the game hardly ever. Right. Because it takes 10 seconds maybe?
Yeah, because you have to charge. There's two levels. You can charge the bar full once, mm-hmm. and then if you keep charging, you can charge it a whole second time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's pretty rare. The only time I get a full charge off is the first shot fighting a boss, essentially, because you've got time before the boss shows up to charge. But other than that, it's pretty rough.
I remember in the bosses in Super R-Type usually had some kind of an opportunity for you to one-shot them.
Oh, really?
So, like, I remember me figuring out on my own, because my dad and Craig had a really hard time with the first boss.
Yeah.
Because it's sort of like a Zelda-type. The big eye with all the little eyes around it sort of thing.
Okay.
And like they were having to try to move around quickly and it keeps speeding up every time you destroy one of its eyes.
Mm-hmm.
But then I figured out if you get to the very corner of the screen, right when you see just the first just pixel of it entering and fire off a full charge blast, dies immediately.
One shot, huh?
Yeah. And cool. Then same for like every boss will have like some opportunity where they're vulnerable to where if you can manage a fully charged shot at this right point, at this right time. They usually just die. Otherwise, it's super challenging. I don't know. I feel I need to play through Super R-Type again to make, because I'm still going off elementary school feelings.
Sure.
To make sure. But this game should be on top 100. Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Agree.
I think it in the 60s is probably pretty good. But
and as challenging as it is, it did give you unlimited continues.
Mm-hmm.
And there were checkpoints. So if you died in a level, if you'd gotten far enough, you didn't have to go back to the very beginning, which was a godsend in level 4.
Mm-hmm.
But still, I don't know. I thought the bosses, there's a whole lot of pattern recognition. Like you've got to memorize these patterns or else you're just not gonna do it.
Yeah. It's like Pilot Wings in the sense of you just have to like this kind of thing. It's a good game and you just have to like this sort of the niche that it fills.
There's something we haven't done in a while. It's a little segment I like to call Where Are They Now?
Oh, shit.
Would you like to play?
Yeah.
Where are they now?
Let's do it.
Tyler.
Yeah.
Irem. Mm. Where are they now?
They make the Dark Souls games.
That's a really good guess. Because I did get to the frustrated level of Dark Souls when I was playing this. But no, they're still around. They just don't make video games anymore. They make gambling machines. We've seen this before.
Mm-hmm.
They made video games up until 2011, and then they're Japan-based, of course.
Mm.
The earthquake hit, and then they had the tsunami. And as a result of that, they refocused to develop pachinko and slot machines.
Yep.
Good old pachinko. But they were notorious, like I said earlier, for creating difficult games. And they're best known for the R-Type series, Moon Patrol and Kung Fu Master, which came out on the Nintendo as Kung Fu.
Oh, yes. Okay. Which, see, now they have my respect because I fucking love Kung Fu.
Which is one of the first, if not the first, beat 'em up. Kung Fu Master.
God, Brandon and I played so much Kung Fu. I love Kung Fu.
My dad and I played that one.
I've got it. I might go and play it now.
There you go.
I'll get to the Hunchback and then quit.
Do you have achievements for this game?
I do. I've got two. Let's see. The first one being wait until you see the whites of their eyes, which is to hit a big enemy.
An eyeball sperm.
Hit an eyeball sperm with kill it in one supercharged power-up shot, point blank range.
Okay.
The second one being Indra's Game.
Yes, nice.
Which is kill all the space bugs in one level.
Nice. It's funny you mentioned that because I was thinking of Ender's game as I was playing this. Because I was thinking you would have to be fucking Ender to get through this game.
See, if Blake Woods listens to the episode, that'll make him happy.
He won't. No, he won't. He's done. He is so done with the show.
Yeah, probably.
He recorded Blackthorn with us and then got the fuck out.
Moved to Oklahoma. He was done. Typically, his first DD character was named Ender. On all of his online profiles, he's Ender with some variation of X's. Yeah, he's that guy.
I've got an achievement.
All right.
And it may be familiar to you because this is what I told you. This achievement is called Avenge Me. And in order to unlock Avenge Me, you beat the final boss of Area 4 because I spent so fucking long trying to beat that boss and could not. Mm. So if you beat him, you unlock Avenge Me. Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
I've had a lot of fun today. Mm. I've had more fun recording the show than I did playing the game.
I think that's usually the case. Jacob York was frustrated we didn't give a spoiler alert before I made my joke at the end last time about the Would You Kindly. As soon as he heard the episode, he was like, spoilers!
You know, I thought about that when I was doing the show notes, and I didn't think it was that bad, because you just say, you don't reference what it's to.
Mm-mm.
So Jacob, I strongly urge you, listen to that episode again.
Several times. Get the listens up a few times.
Please. Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
If you were to assign this game some fashion of facial hair, some kind of beard, one might say, what do you think you would give this game?
Well, I sent you a link earlier to put in the show notes.
You did.
Because I was thinking originally, I was like, oh, well, you're in space.
Mm-hmm.
I need to see what kind of beard. And I was like, I can't think of any astronauts that had beards. It's like, I would give it an astronaut beard. So then I did
some research. It's like astronaut ice cream.
I did some research into it. And so many astronauts have like horrible mustaches. They have like 80s pornography mustaches. There is only one astronaut that had a beard. And that is Wiley will probably get this because he and Laura are space buffs. So I guess I'll have to give this by default Lauren Acton's beard.
Okay.
Lauren Acton, and you can find him in the show notes.
I'll have a link there.
He's the only astronaut to have ever had a beard.
You heard it here first, folks.
So I give this game Lauren Acton's beard.
You're like the Anderson Cooper of beards, Tyler. Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
I like the research that went into that beard.
Mm.
I'm sure that the same amount of research went in to my next question. If you were to assign this game a pair of glasses, let's just say glasses, what kind would you give it?
I mean, I guess I could go do a Lauren Acton double combo because he also wears glasses and give this game Lauren Acton's glasses. I wager Rush Freshtick from The Besties wears glasses. He just sounds like he has glasses on. So he shits all over Earthbound every episode of The Besties, but loves games like this. So I could alternatively give it Rush Freshtick's glasses. Or my original concept was an astronaut helmet. It's very useful and stylish when you're in space and exploring. But It's stylish in space. Anybody who's anybody in space is going to have an astronaut helmet.
They're like Oakleys when you're in high school.
Yep. And then outside, it's just not very useful outside. You just have to be in space for them to be cool.
Yeah. Wow.
So this game is like, it's cool if you like this sort of stuff.
If you're in space. I like that you mentioned The Besties. Besides our wonderful show, it's probably the best gaming podcast out there.
Mm-hmm.
Some people called us.
Yeah, I want to hear these calls.
What's up, Chad Pong and Diggy's cousin? First of all, I wanted to tell Tyler that the Wheel of Time has actually been adapted into a video game. Back in the late 90s, a first-person shooter came out based on the Wheel of Time books. So maybe that could be some special episode material for you guys. I believe it was a PC game. Question I had this week was if the Golden Girls were in the Naruto universe, what type of powers would they have? Or what families would they belong to, for that matter? All right, guys, I look forward to hearing your answers and keep up the good work. Thanks.
God, I'm gonna have to think about the second part of that question.
I've already got my answer to the second part.
Well,
I
knew about the Wheel of Time. I have the Wheel of Time PC game.
You do?
Mechanically, it's as a first-person shooter, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's solid enough.
Okay.
But from a Wheel of Time perspective, it is a fucking abomination.
Really? What's wrong about it?
You are, one, you're...
Well, first of all, you have an AR. doesn't technically exist.
Well, you should. I mean, because it's a first-person shooter. I mean, what are you going to shoot? It's in like a... It's kind of a medieval setting, you know?
Uh-huh.
Bow and arrow? No. You're an Aes Sedai. You're a non-canon, non-existing Aes Sedai.
Aes Sedai is a spellcaster?
Yes. Okay. It is the female spellcasters that essentially rule the world.
Okay.
You're one of them. You're like a lower tier one of them on a special mission.
That doesn't sound very misogynistic, Tyler.
Okay. Well,
I need you to really guy it up for me, okay?
Wheel of Time in general, I don't know how to take it. I don't know where it lands on the spectrum because the men in the series, men who can use magic,
uh-huh.
It drives them insane.
Okay.
The women don't go insane from it. They hunt and kill and essentially magically castrate all men. So it's had like a societal effect of women's circles run all the towns. Most of the monarchs are queens. And the Aes Sedai pretty much in the White Tower rule everything. So you think, all right, so it's got that. It's a little different. It's a different spin. You know, the women are in charge of the society.
Uh-huh.
But the one who saves them all is a man. So the man comes in and completely fucks their shit up and has...
As men are wont to do.
And he has multiple wives and they're all crazy about him. So it's like, I don't know where it lands on that spectrum.
Okay.
So it seems like it's got both competing against each other, but you're a non-canon Aes Sedai.
In this game.
This game. And instead of a gun, you have Tarangrial, which are...
Ah, I remember you talking about Tarangrial.
You have these weird... Tarangrial. I heard you about Tarangrial.
Yes, we love you.
And these Tarangrial function sort of like guns and have different effects. And it's just like, it's the biggest stretch seen trying to match up two genres. Okay. So...
Like it literally like turns into a Tommy gun or something?
The effects are like that, yeah. And it's just like, I'll play Chex Quest. Thanks.
Chex Quest,
I'll read
please.
Wheel of Time, then play Chex Quest.
All right, I have an answer to this Golden Girls question. It's very simple. They are all masters of sexy ninjutsu. The end.
That is good. That is good. Blanche, I think Blanche is a new Chiha.
Okay.
Blanche has the Sharingan, and she uses it... She uses Tsukuyomi on men to seduce them.
Okay.
Estelle, as the progenitor, as like
She is the Hokage, right?
Yeah, she's the Hokage. Yeah. She's the Hokage of the group, and she's like the first Hokage. She has like, she's got the Keke Genkai of like the wood style. So she is a Senju clan. See, Rose, I guess Rose is sort of like Naruto. So let's make Rose. Rose is an Uzumaki. You know, she's kind of dense, but she gets it done. Everybody believes in her. Everybody just likes Rose.
All right.
Rose and Uzumaki.
Okay.
Dorothy, she's the sarcastic one. Let's say she is one of the bug ninjas like Shino, Aburame, I think. So that's her clan.
Okay.
So there's your nerdy-ass Naruto Angel, the Golden Girls.
That was good. Thanks for calling, Yuki's cousin, as always. We got another caller.
Yeah.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Lord Mike of Purdue here with this week's Would You Rather, brought to you this week by Sprite Zero. Why Sprite Zero? Because fuck calories, that's why. All right, this week's Would You Rather. Would you rather live in the past or live in the future? If you had to immediately move from your current standing in time, live in the past, live in the future. I'm going to go with live in the past. And I'm going to back to future style it and try to bet on some events and, you know, gain some windfall from that and hopefully not sleep with anyone that is going to become any part of my family, and definitely not try to hook up with my mother. Sorry, Mom, if you hear this, I apologize in advance for that one. So, yeah, live in the past. Although going to the future would be great. I'd love to have a hoverboard. I'm definitely a Back to the Future geek. But live in the past, get some money, and blow the hell out of it. And buy all the Super NES games that everybody can handle and everybody can play, and play the top 100 list with you guys. Aw, isn't that sweet? All right, got to go back to work. Talk to you guys later. Keep up the good work.
That is sweet, Lord Mike.
That is very sweet. Actually, you know, I've been meaning to say this for a long time. What's really sweet about his calls is he always calls us gentlemen, which is a blatant
which
lie.
Is wrong.
Yeah, but I appreciate it.
The crux there, one, it might not be a Back to the Future thing. It might be a Futurama thing where he has to go back in time and hook up with somebody in his family, be his own grandfather, and he has to do it. It's a locked point in Throw in some Doctor Who. It's a locked point in time. He has to go back and do it. You can't deviate from it because you have to do it in order to exist in the future. Sorry, Mike. You're going to have to fuck somebody in your family line.
It's just the way it's going to be. Sorry.
Is it a set point? Either you have to go 100 years in the past or 100 years in the future?
It didn't sound like it.
Because it sounded like you could pick. So
I was going to go back and get Super Nintendo games.
So I'd hot tub time machine it. That would be better. So I'd go back to the 80s and then buy stock in Apple, Microsoft. Come up with Google, name it after yourself. So I think that's better. If you have to go back in time just a little bit, I would probably do that. But if it's like 100 years either way, uh-huh. Like if you have to go back.
A set of time.
Yeah, yeah. Then probably the future.
I'd definitely go to the future. Definitely go to the future. No question about it. Past sucked. It's behind us. Get over it. Here's what you do. You take all of your money, put it in the bank account, go to the future, collect all the interest.
Another Futurama style where Fry has $1 billion.
Then it gets real delicate because you don't want to go too far to where the government has crumbled and all your money is.
You don't want to go to the Fallout future.
Right. So if you get to choose your future, that'd be best.
Okay. Okay.
But yeah, you got to go future. Even if you lose all your money, who the fuck cares? You're in the future. You get to see robots.
All your friends and family are dead.
Oh, man.
You can't deal with that anymore.
Wait, like you're going to see them in the past?
That's true. That's true. Either way, you're just lonely. Either way, it's gonna be hard. It's gonna be hard, harsh,
it's just a loneliness. Horrible life.
Man.
It's like a life condemned to R-Type 3. Mm. We got people to thank?
Yep. All right, it's light. Our Facebook shares are diminishing and our tweets are increasing.
It's what?
Our retweets. Our Facebook shares, where I used to have like 10 people to thank.
Yeah.
It's going down. And
what's up
tweets
with that?
Tweets are going up.
Well, hey, I like the fact that the tweets are going up.
So for Facebook shares, from what we can see, if you have a privacy setting, we might not be able to see you share. Right. But Lord Mike, Jess Dockery, Silk Street Post.
Thank you.
And we assume Nicole. Nicole always shares.
Yeah, Nicole always shares. It never shows
up. It doesn't
up,
show up.
And I also, you mentioned Jess of Silk Street Post. I also want to thank Jessica Perkins of Eyeless Paducah, because she wrote a nice article about podcasting in Paducah, which is, you know, the podcasting capital of the world. Mm-hmm. We also happen to live here. And she wrote a nice article, so thank you for that.
And then for tweets, Laura, Matt, and Nicole.
Thank you.
Hopefully everybody's following Nicole and her Twitter's got to just blowing up right now.
It has.
She loves her to be tweeted just random dick pics. Mm. Loves it. Loves it.
Please do that.
Not misogynistic. Tell her to tweet dick pics. Not at all.
Nope.
Not at all. Mm-mm.
It's sexy is what it is.
For art, Lord Mike sent a quite hilarious bumper sticker.
Yes.
That we enjoyed very much.
It's on the Facebook page.
We've got Matt's fat package and Lord Mike's fat sack of Tadpog points. Mm-hmm. That's just getting bigger. We can hardly keep it in the house anymore.
Yep. He's going to need a release pretty soon.
So, and then we had a plethora of 5-star reviews.
I like that.
Two of which we asked for, but two of which we didn't.
Now, why are the 5-star reviews important, Tyler?
Because it makes us appear in iTunes more, in the what's popular for the genres and overall. So the more 5-star reviews we have, the more our show gets out there and listened to.
Okay, I like that. So if someone likes our show and thinks that other people, other like-minded, awesome people like them would enjoy the show, it would really be in their best interest to give us a 5-star review on iTunes.
And we'll give them free stuff.
Yeah.
So we'll give away.
We might. There's a chance they might get free stuff.
I still haven't heard anything from Rub Gooch, so or RG Countdown. Their coins are just sitting there.
Clearly, they are done with us.
Yep. So, got another coin we'll give away. I'll give away my copy of Welcome to Dead House, Goosebump Books number one. I will give that away.
And all.
It's not shitty book, so we'll just say shittily held together book. Mm-hmm. So
low quality.
Yeah. This barely held together. You can have it. I will send it to you.
It's a gray item.
Just send me your address and I'll send you this book.
So who gave us a 5-star review?
Let's see. One rather young lady.
I like the sound of that.
Drake Down Syndrome.
Okay.
So
yeah.
So we apologize to all the Drakes, the rapper Drake, we apologize.
Yeah, who clearly has Down Syndrome.
So we apologize people offended by that. That's his name. We didn't choose that.
We didn't.
We got to thank him.
Mm-mm. Thank you.
M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Blue P3. So it's Blue P3 or Bloopy. Bloopy 3.
Bloopy. Okay.
Bloop. So all of you are entered to win these fabulous Tadpog prizes.
Fabulous prizes.
Fabulous prizes. Thanks for listening, everybody. You can find the show on iTunes or Stitcher so you don't miss the next episode. We'll be talking about IGN's 64th ranked game, International Superstar Soccer.
Yes!
Yeah, we're pumped.
Get it.
Pumped.
Get it.
Jorge Campos, goal! Only soccer reference I have.
Mm-hmm.
Only one I
have. We're done.
That's it.
We just recorded our next episode.
While you're there, don't forget to subscribe. Give the show a 5-star rating. Write a review. Wins free shit, maybe. I don't know. We appreciate it. We'll do something for you.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. We'll have a pizza party. Everybody can come. I don't know.
Tadpog prom. We've talked
Tadpog
about.
Tadpog prom. We'll do the Kickstarter Tadpog prom. Or worst case scenario, we just get some Diet Cokes from Walmart and we'll sit out in the yard. People just come over. It's fine. Whatever.
I like that. We all pick up sticks.
I'll provide warm Diet Coke for everybody who wants to come over and pick up this tree my dad chopped up in my yard.
Don't worry, guys. If you can't wait for more Tadpog between now and Tadpog prom, you can find plenty of great stuff on our Facebook page.
Mm-hmm,
and that's at facebook.com/tadpog. That's where you can see the wonderful bumper sticker that Lord Micah Perdue has provided us.
Mm-hmm.
You can also just, I don't know, get on some good conversation. We've got a lot of awesome listeners who like to congregate there. We mentioned these things called show notes. And what that is all these references that no one else but Tyler and I get.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I just make links so other people can get them.
Yeah.
And they're there at tadpog.com. Tyler.
Yes, sir.
Our intro song is a song called Moves by a gentleman named Sycamore Drive.
Mm. If the tree was a sycamore in my yard, that's sassafras tree.
What kind? Oh, you see, sassafras. You know trees.
Mm-hmm.
Someone asked me the other day what kind of tree I had in my yard. I was like, the wooden kind.
Green. Wood tree.
Wood on bottom, green on top.
Photosynthesis tree.
Mm-hmm.
Fluoridized.
Mm-hmm. You can find Moves, Tyler, in the show notes at tadpog.com.
Good.
Mm-hmm. That's the show. We're done. As a result of that, they decided,
That's Jacob Yorker calling me right now when we're up with this podcast.